Andy,
Hey, it's Linda.
can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, so we can hear each other?
I think we're talking on the phone.
Hey, we're talking on the phone here. That sound's
Yeah,
coming out of your mouth or going into this device. They're getting shot up to outer space. Bing, boom, bop, back down to Earth in my ears.
bada bing.
That's how phones work. That's how phones do.
I'm gonna start this out this episode with a question.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm ready.
How often would you say you get a tummy ache?
How often do I get a tummy ache? I would say I get a stomach ache maybe once every 2 months.
Ooh.
Something like that.
Nice.
There's a little bit of so sometimes I do too many abby workouts. I crunch my abbies too much at the
Oh.
gym, and then that actually feels basically exactly like a stomach ache, but it is not that. It is you did too many
Right.
crunchies. So, not counting those, I would say once every couple months. Although I did have like the worst stomach pain I've had as an adult last week, just one night for like apparently no reason. I think I ate some bad hummus.
You think it was hummus, really?
Well, that's basically all I ate that day. And also, I'm not sure how long the hummus had been open. You know, it was not past its sell-by date, but it had definitely been open for a minute in the fridge. So,
Were you dipping like raw pork into
raw carrots.
Huh.
Yeah,
Well,
I'm a real sicko.
interesting.
But yeah, I was in excruciating pain. This was
Yeah.
last Tuesday, I guess, something like that.
That sucks.
Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever. Yeah, I was just
Yeah.
horrible pain all night. It was real bad. I didn't know if I'd be able to get up the next day and go to work, but then I felt fine the next day. It was all better.
Oh, good.
But how often do you get stomach aches?
Well, I asked because, I
You
used to
wouldn't
get them
ask
all.
unless you get them never or all the time.
Exactly. So I used to get them all the time, like all the time. And my parents just kind of explained it to me, like, well, if you got the family stomach, like that's just the curse that you've been
The old clanker.
given. Yeah. And it wasn't until I was like 25 that I stopped eating gluten and dairy and like everything. Did one of those elimination diets, figured out I have like some serious gluten sensitivities,
Which is
as
a
well
huge bummer
as,
because gluten tastes very good.
yeah, as well as just like anything fried, sometimes dairy. And so now I know what to avoid to not get tummy aches. But so now I avoid those things. And just, every now and then I still just get them for no
A
reason,
moment
because
of
maybe.
weakness. We're all human, Linda.
Or that stuff just like sneaks into things. Like yesterday, I was like, I can tell my stomach is a little off, so I'm just gonna eat like gluten-free cereal for dinner and not eat like the dim sum that is being ordered. And
That requires great strength. I love dim sum so damn much. I would have such a hard time not eating that dim sum.
I thought in my head about like some of my most excruciating stomach aches where you're like on the toilet, like bracing yourself and like doing breathing exercises and like
Yep.
wishing death upon yourself.
What up, me last
And
week? How you doing?
yeah. And you like so you flash back to those like not so distant memories because it just happened like within a week. And you're like, yeah, no, I'm good. I don't need the dim sum tonight. Like
Yeah, if it happened
it's
within the week, I can understand that.
yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I think when I was growing up, it was like twice a week I would wake up in the middle of the night with one of those
Oh.
excruciating bad boys. Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible, Linda.
I
That's
know,
borderline
but
chronic.
I know, but nowadays it's not so bad. It's
You
like,
got
yeah,
solutions in place.
once a month, maybe. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you got it under control.
Yeah, thank you.
Want you to
But
have it.
I just ate half of a donut and had an instant tummy ache. So.
I feel like I very rarely can make any like association between something I've eaten and feeling like shit. Like I can just kind of
Yeah.
eat whatever. I'm very blessed in that sense. Except for apparently like very old hummus, which is what I think gave me problems that night. I don't know what else it could have been.
It could have just been a stomach bug. Those go around.
It's possible, I guess. Just like a 8 hour fuck you And then it goes on with its life. I'm not sure. But that was terrible. Do not recommend. What else are you up to tonight? Do you still have Minu?
I do have Minu.
Minu.
I just left Minu at home so I could go to spin class. I haven't exercised in over a week.
Well, you've been walking around with Minu. That's exercise.
It is. We're getting 13,000 steps a day, baby.
When's the last time you didn't go to spin class for a week?
I don't know. Probably on one of my recent travels where they're... Well, but even then, I figure out how to go to a local spin class.
I was going to say, I was on one of your recent travels with you, and we basically did nothing but spin classes, as I remember it. Pretty much only spin classes. And,
actually, that's true. We did go twice on a three-day trip.
And there was some other stuff involved, too, but it's mostly spin classes in my memory.
Yeah, I guess I go a lot. No, I don't know. I kind of felt a cold coming on at the beginning of the week, and I think that, like, as I've gotten older, I've learned to listen to my body and, like, give it what it needs and not guilt myself into exercising when I'm feeling the sickness coming on. So I just like gave myself a whole week off. Like I challenged myself to not work out for a whole week.
Hmm. The theme of this conversation is Linda being a responsible adult. Congratulations.
Just let you know how dialed in it all is.
Welcome to this episode of Adult Flexing. Next, Linda's going to tell us how much money she has saved for retirement and, go through the extensive numbers of insurance plans she has in place.
None and one.
Hey!
It's the end of that episode.
That'd be a bad podcast, Adult Flexing. I had one of those days, Linda, where I just got home and I was like, I have to take all my clothes off. You ever have those days where your clothes are just a prison and you just have to rip all your clothes off as soon as you walk in the door?
Nope.
You don't have
those
days?
That's because I work from home, so I've been in my Lululemons that I'm going to work out in tonight since I woke up this morning.
I guess if you work from home, you would just take the clothes off before it became such a strong...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's like, it looked like it was going to be a nice fall day down here, and then it just ended up being really humid.
Like
75 or 80 degrees, and so...
So were you all excited and gallivanting around in your fall-time clothes, but it was like 80 degrees outside?
Not quite fall-time clothes, but I had full pants on, had jeans, and then like a wool shirt, and I was like, these need to get off of me immediately.
I do understand that feeling, yes.
Left a pile of clothes by the front door like I had been taken. Pulled up to heaven.
But I think that you were left behind. I mean, whoever found the clothes.
No, you were left behind.
I was left behind. You are not. I do that, but I go straight into the shower because I can feel that like layer of sweat that's been created by said clothes. And I'm like, I got to get that off me.
Are we talking about like a cool shower or like a warm, normal temperature shower?
Just like normal temp.
I do not feel the... Do not, you know me, Linda. I love a shower, but I don't feel the siren song of the shower when I am too hot and take all my clothes off. I just want to like lay in an air conditioned room with a fan on me. No, the shower's hot. It's hot and wet in there. I'm trying not to be hot and wet. That's the whole point.
Yeah, but like you can. I mean, you don't have to do a cold shower. There is such a thing as like lukewarm shower.
Right. Yeah.
Where it's not like
there's a whole spectrum of temperatures.
Yeah.
Temperature is a
gradient.
Where do you fall in the temperature spectrum? Temperature scale?
I used to be scalding hot, and I think I've backed off in recent years.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Comfortable.
I feel like I'm normal, you know? I'm just at the right temperature, the correct one. Warm enough, but not so hot that it's burning you.
Yeah. Andy, last night I had a dream that my brother-in-law got shot in the butt.
Ooh.
And as I was on my way to save him... There were all of these tornadoes, the size of people, following people around. And now I'm looking
small
at the
tornadoes.
Sky.
Tiny little tornadoes, now, the size of people.
Tiny little black tornadoes, just like really dark, like charcoal dust. And now I'm looking at the sky and it kind of looks like that. Like it looks like it's about to tiny tornado.
Oh, boy.
It's ominous out here.
Good. That's a very good dream. I had a dream last night about a running partner. Had to do a big poop on the trail. That's...
Ow!
It's a weird dream I had.
What
not nearly
that
as fun as people-sized tornadoes. I like the phrase people-sized tornadoes because you hear people-sized as a, an opener, as a prefix, and you think that it's going to be a big version of it. Like, oh, there were people-sized insects or, there was there's a pumpkin the size of a person. But then you're like, no, these are people-sized tornadoes, much less dangerous than normal tornadoes, which are much bigger. These were itty-bitty tornadoes.
It was kind of like a little wily Tasmanian devil. Like, in my dream, there was this woman and a tornado was, like, staying behind her. So, like, whenever she turned around to see what was there, it, like, scooted around so that she couldn't see it.
Oh.
She's like, what the fuck? It's weird.
Now, Linda, do you believe in dream symbolism?
I think similar to the horoscope stuff, like, I'll look into it like crazy. I will definitely...
I will definitely Google, what does mini tornadoes mean?
Yeah. I don't know if mini tornadoes exist in the dream diaries or whatever the website is called. What is it called? Dream moods?
I'm not familiar with this website at all. Tell me all about it.
Well, I went through a phase where I was dreaming of animals a lot. Mm-hmm. And there's always some animal in my path about to attack me.
Oh, that does feel very,
about to
that feels very
me.
Pregnant with purpose.
Right. But there was one time that there was like this huge black stallion, like the size of a house. And it was just dying on the side of the road. And I like ran to it. And in my dream, I knew the significance of this creature. And I was like, no, the stallion, no. And I woke up and I was like, what was that all about? So I looked it up and horses can represent your sexuality, Andy. Was my sexuality dying on the side of the road? Who knows?
I don't know. That's my skeptical noise.
Yes, I like to look it up, but I don't put any like stock into it, really.
I wonder if the first person that wrote that dreaming about horses is dreaming about sexuality, just find horses very sexual, you know?
Yeah.
They're big and muscly.
Right.
They're big and muscly, you know, and you know, you could picture a sexy person on a horse. That's a sight to behold. But
yeah.
I would have guessed horses are more a symbol of like freedom.
Yeah.
That's probably birds though. Birds probably got the market cornered on freedom symbolism in dreams, huh?
Yeah. One time I dreamt that I fly. Yeah. I dreamt that I was a jellyfish who could fly. So I could swim and then jump out of the water and fly around.
I don't think I've ever had a dream where I was anything other than myself.
That's so boring.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, I suck.
But it's also very on par for the course.
In what way? In that I'm always boring and suck?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll let you tell it like it is. That's, you know, I appreciate your candor.
No, I just feel like that tracks with the Andy that I know.
Okay. I'm not sure I'm supposed to take that, Linda.
Don't take it any which way. It's up to me.
It's just me saying that I expect you to have boring, shitty dreams where you're just yourself, you know, in a normal life,
well,
doing normal shit.
You're a homebody who loves your dog and baking baked goods.
That's true. I actually don't bake that much.
What's the last thing you made?
I made some focaccia. Last weekend.
Yep.
Focaccia.
Focaccia.
Focaccia. I don't like baking as much as cooking because it is much more indirect. Like, you do a bunch of work, and then you do some more work, and then you do some more work, and then you wait for a while, and then you can taste the results of all that labor. And if you did something wrong in step one, you have to, like, really unpack a lot to, like, figure out where you went awry. Meanwhile, while you're cooking, you can like taste stuff as you're going. It's kind of an engaged activity. You know, it's happening live. You can like make changes on the fly. So I feel like for that reason, baking for me doesn't feel like I'm getting better at it when I do it. So
yeah,
it doesn't have a pull on me. I'm like, I'll just cook. I'll cook instead.
Yeah, baking is weird because it feels like you can kind of perfect a recipe forever. And in the perfection of that, you might learn a few things about, like, a specific type of baking method.
Proving time.
But I didn't even know what proving was until I watched the Great British Baking Show.
Yeah, I think that's true for, like, a lot of people. I think you got a lot of friends in that boat with you.
Yeah. Thanks, Prue and Paul.
Now, did you not start watching till Prue was on the show?
Yeah, sorry. I know.
No, it's okay. No, I'm not going to judge. I think all the hosts are fine. You know, just like everyone else, I could take or leave Paul Hollywood. He doesn't really do it for me. He's not my kind of guy. But, you know, the show's good no matter what. Doesn't matter who's hosting it, really.
True.
Yeah.
It's just so sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, this weekend I just, like, hung out with a bunch of friends. I went to the School for Poetic Computation because they were having a set.
What is that?
It's really cool.
It sounds really cool. The name is great.
Yeah, look it up. It's my friend Kelly taught some classes there on, like, I think she taught, like, some origami stuff or some papercraft stuff. I don't know, but it's basically what it sounds like. It's like, do you want to make digital art?
I don't know. Go what there. It sounds like. A School for Poetic Computation? Do they have, like, beautiful algorithms on a board or something?
Sorry, I just flicked someone off.
Oh, nice.
I think it's, like, creating
art. Can you not
with...
flip somebody off and also talk? Is it like you can't multitask?
It was, like, a little bit of fight or flight. Because, like, you flick them off and you feel proud of yourself. And then you're like, oh, shit. They're a car. They could kill me.
I don't think I've ever flicked somebody off unironically in my entire life.
Right. Well, I was just honked at for walking in a crosswalk.
Yeah, I mean, trust me, I fully support you flicking people off. I think the finger's fun. I think it's fun. I think it's funny. I think it's great that, you know, we decided this one finger was like a bad finger and put that finger down. You know, like, that's just very funny to me that you can put your hand in a shape where someone's like, hey, that's very offensive to me. That makes
me
laugh.
Wait a minute.
I fully support you, but you know, I'm too shy. I can't. Shy is not the right word.
Yeah.
I'm too embarrassed. I'm too. I can't. I don't like taking up space and giving somebody the finger. That's taking up a lot of space.
Yeah.
Anyway, what were we talking about before?
Anyway, the School for Poetic Computation.
Right. Yeah. Before you heinously insulted that person. That's fine.
Right. So I was hoping that I was actually going to learn a little bit more about the school when I was there, but they were having like former students give presentations on like what they're working on now. It was like this guy who does a lot of like magazine covers and artwork that's very like anti-Trump, and he does these like big art installations where he'll like wheat paste on like a giant pile of boxes and put it out in the streets or whatever.
Now, is the art interesting, or is he just like, ugh, get rid of the big Cheeto man, orange guy's bad?
His art is clever. Like, he was like an art director for Time magazine for a long time, so
clever is the most insulting word to describe art to me. I never want people to describe whatever I do as clever. It's like I totally bristle against it.
Well, I feel like that's what a lot of like poster design and book cover design is. It's clever. It's like, ooh, you said in an image like what this whole thing means. Good for you. But anyways, there was that. And then there was this group called Bufu, which is kind of like a take on FUBU. Remember the forest bias?
Oh, do I?
This is like Bias Forest, and it's Black and Asian community of makers who have all of these like events where they like everything from like web design to like Afrofuturism and like everything in between. And there's like they just have this like big community space where they let people come and like teach free classes to people who want and need them from Black and Asian communities. So that's cool.
That sounds great.
Yep. And
you didn't really learn what the school was, it sounds like.
Not really. Not really at all. But I think it's like this place where you would sign up as a teacher, but you're kind of like leading research with the students.
Is this a degree-granting institution?
No.
This is like continued learning adult classes.
Exactly. Yeah. And everyone who was there was very cool and very interesting, and I felt very out of my league, but everyone was also extremely nice, and it was great.
Cool. Had a nice chill weekend.
Yeah, there's lots of friendship.
I saw you looking autumnal as fuck on Instagram. You had your like, autumnal hat on. You had some layers.
Damn,
it's like it's colder in New York, I guess. I'm jealous.
No, I had my hat on in not hat weather.
Want to make it happen.
Yeah, I was hopeful that it would get colder as the day went on. It did not. I was sweaty. It had that good hat smell at the end of the day. You know,
that is a spell. You know, a little bit musty, a little bit sweaty, but also cool.
Yeah.
All the good things.
Yeah. What have you been up to? What's your life like today?
Linda, I have found myself with a side project. I mean, I guess this podcast is a side project, but I have a side project that is more adjacent to what I do for a living. And it's really the first side project like that I've had in, if you don't count podcasts, I've had in like, you know, a decade probably, or like, you know.
Wow.
I've had in a long time. It's not, the actual substance of it is not exciting. It has a very niche appeal. It's not broadly interesting to most of the population. So I don't think what it is important. But I found myself like, you know, I stayed up to like midnight a couple nights just, you know, hacking away at some code, you know, building a website, which it felt really good, I think, in a small way to be motivated enough to like stay up late and work on something. So
building a website from scratch.
Well, you know, from scratch, in that I type Gatsby install and 600,000 node modules are installed on my computer, written by 20,000 people across time immemorial. So yeah, in scratch, from scratch, yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. But you weren't building this on Squarespace.
No, I'm not building this on Squarespace. Who is not a sponsor of the show? They sponsor every other podcast, not us, though. So I guess don't use Squarespace. I don't know.
Yeah, code your own.
Yeah, it makes me sad. I have all the like respect and admiration in the world for services like Squarespace, and I want the web to be accessible in the sense that I want people to be able to like self-publish things. But the state of the internet, it bums me out in a couple ways. Like, one way it bums me out is that you can make a Squarespace website and publish something on it, but ain't nobody gonna find it. Like, we don't, the systems of like attention economies are all so directed by social networks that you can't exist in a vacuum. Like, actual self-publishing is kind of a lie, because you need a giant audience on one of these social platforms to have anybody look at it in the first place, or you have to participate in some other like bigger institution, which is not self-publishing. That bums me out. That's upsetting. Mm-hmm. And then also, as somebody who makes the web, makes internet, it's not easy. It's in some ways harder to make websites now than it was 15, 20 years ago. And it's like less accessible to people. And it bums me out that the way that the tool is accessible is that you make a whole service on top of it, a la Squarespace, instead of the actual tools, the actual mechanics of the technology actually being accessible. Which I think is kind of in my understanding, the promise of the like World Wide Web when it was founded, is that like, oh, this is just a bunch of documents. Anybody can make a document, and you just put it on this big web of documents, and a little tiny bit of markup, which is very easy to learn. It's like, you know, not a programming language with a capital P. It's just kind of like, you know, markup, which is, you know, easy to pick up. And then, you know, you put it on the internet. And, you know, now it's like, you know, just because of the various technologies and expectations now, I spend like 2 hours setting up my environment so I can begin to make a website. And then spend 45 minutes reading about how to put an image on a web page, which is a thing that I used to be able to do very easily. And now it's extraordinarily complicated. But I'm excited about my side project. I got a thing that I'm feeling a little fire in my belly, maybe for the first time in a long time. That's how I'm
exciting.
Feeling right now. What's going on in my life?
When are you going to be able to talk about it?
Maybe let's say next week. Next week I can tell you more clearly.
Ooh.
It is not going to be broadly appealing. Of the listeners to this show, I would guess that exactly none of them would be interested in this thing that I'm making. Which is in some ways very liberating. It's like catering to a small community, which means that there's no pressure to somehow figure out how to like contextualize something and make it interesting to everybody, which is seemingly the only valuable audience to most things these days. If you're not making something for everybody, then it's not important anymore.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to like solve a problem that you actually care about. Like, write what you know?
Mm-hmm. It's true.
So I'm assuming energized. That you actually care about this.
I do care about it.
So it's got something to do with dogs or...
If you guessed long enough, you would get there. But again, it's not interesting. I'm not bearing the lead. It's truly not that interesting to talk about. But I feel some kind of way about it, and that's, I think, more interesting or more, you know.
Well, yeah, that is interesting. So do you feel like you have that good, like, art school energy under your butt?
Yeah. Art school energy is a good way to put it, where it's like I get sucked into it, and then I'm like working on it for like 3 or 4 hours, and it's too late, and then I don't get enough sleep, but the next day I'm all tired, but I'm also tired in the way that like you know, you're tired after you like did something meaningful to you, where it's kind of like an right. earned tired as opposed to the like general ennui tired that I felt for the rest of my adult life, where I just feel right. tired because the whole world's exhausting and I feel like I'm not doing anything. It's a different kind of
that's
tired,
great.
Which is good. It makes me feel good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Can you bottle that up and sell it?
Yeah, I think it's called an SSRI inhibitor or whatever. SSRI. it's inhibitor, right?
That's oh, somebody already did that. Yeah.
Yeah, serotonin reuptake inhibitor. I think that's what an SRI is.
They're really ahead of me.
Anyway, so yeah, I'm feeling good. Life is life, and I'm excited for fall. Fall gets me very excited. It really does. I have like a very powerful emotional response to fall.
Yeah, me too. I'm stoked about it.
Yeah, well, I think it just makes us. We're just like basic bitches. I mean, like it's the most cliche
well, yeah.
season to be excited about, but goddamn,
well,
I'm not excited about it.
It's the best.
It's really good. Do you dress
Andy,
up for
have...
Halloween, Linda?
No.
When's the last time you wore a Halloween costume?
2002.
Whoa, that's way longer than I thought. Seriously?
I have not dressed up for Halloween since I was like maybe in high school. And even then I can't
wow.
actually think of
not
a Halloween
even in college.
Costume. No, I was always like working. Or there's like so much pressure when you're like the artsy one. People are like, oh my God, what are you gonna be? And it's like, I don't know. I like, especially in college, because I was doing art projects all the time. And I was like, if I'm gonna put any creative energy towards anything, it's gonna be the work I'm really behind on and not that. Wait, no, I kind of sort of dressed up as, like, Wednesday Addams, but that was just, like, a throwaway. Like, ah, shit. Like, it's, like, the last minute before this Halloween party.
I was going to say, you must get invited to Halloween parties every year where the expectation is that you're going to show up in a costume.
Nope. That doesn't happen.
You don't get invited to them, even?
Not really. No.
Well, maybe...
I lump Halloween into the same category as, like, New Year's. Where it's, like, expected fun. Like, it's gonna be fucking fun, okay? We're gonna show up, and it's gonna be crazy. Like, I love everything that leads up to it, but I really hate, like, the actual night itself. Or, like, my way to enjoy it would be to, like, hang out with, like, one or three friends and watch, like, a really stupid, like, campy movie.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I'm like number one no party guy, so you're preaching to the choir here. That's
yeah.
my favorite way to celebrate anything.
Yeah, I'm really boring. When's the last time that you dressed up?
I definitely dressed up in college. It was like there was a culture of it at my school, and I'm trying to remember if I've dressed up as anything since then. But you know, I was in college up until 2011 or whatever, so that's way more recent than 2002. And then you dressed up in high school for sure every year is something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to try and do a Halloween costume this year. I have yet to be invited to a party, but I think I probably will get invited to some kind of party that I don't really want to go to, but maybe should for social reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I had this fantasy for a long time that I would find. There's a company that makes very accurate replicas of Star Trek uniforms. You can imagine
oh,
this
nice.
Company exists, obviously, for you know incredible Star Trek
oh,
fans.
Yeah.
And I'm not like a deep Trekkie. I really like The Next Generation. It's probably one of my favorite television shows of all time. But like, I have no interest in owning Star Trek shit. Like, it's not
right.
interesting to me. I'm never going to go to a con, you know,
yeah.
that kind of thing. But I do think it would be like the perfect Halloween costume. You should just have a really nice Starfleet uniform in your closet, and then every year you just wear the Starfleet uniform and put it on. And I had this fantasy when I was in college that I would find one of these like for cheap on eBay that was my size I could get, and then I would like level up my rank in Starfleet based on life events. So I was like, I'll start
wow.
out, you know, as a petty officer. I was like, and then
wow.
like if I get married, I'll like rank up, and then I'll put an extra pip on my uniform, and I'll be this you know, I'll be the next level. I was like, and then if I buy a house, I'll like do that. But now I think I'm like all ranked up. I don't think there's anywhere else for me to go unless we decide to have kids someday. So, that kind of fantasy's gone, but I still have a saved eBay.
Wait, so did
that.
you, So you have the fantasy, but did you ever actually do it? Did you ever actually, like, start, like, okay, I've earned this level of the uniform?
Well, no, I never had the uniform, so.
Oh, I love everything about this.
It's like such a fucking dad move to, like, be the same thing for Halloween every year, but, like, it would be comfortable. Wouldn't be, like, uncomfortable. It wouldn't be unwieldy. It wouldn't be, like, you wouldn't get sticky because of some, like, dumb latex or whatever. It would be tasteful. Like, you could wear it to any kind of party. Yep. It wouldn't be, like, some sexy, you know, horny Halloween outfit, which I'm fully in support of. But, you know, can't wear that to the family Halloween party.
Wait, but what stopped you from actually doing it?
It's very expensive. They're very expensive.
Like, how expensive are we talking?
I think for the pants and the tunic, it's, like, $800.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy expensive.
Yeah, that's too much money.
Yeah, it's not. I was trying to find a cheap one on eBay because, you know, I feel like this should be a prime eBay thing. Like, how many people out there are buying a Star Trek uniform and then their spouse is like, what is this doing in our house? How much money did you spend on this? Get rid of it.
I thought for sure
that would be a thing, but or they outgrow it or something. But no, they basically never show up on eBay. So I guess people are buying them and keeping them. They love them.
Wow. And you were never like, well, I'll just do like a cheap one.
No.
Or I'll make my own. Okay.
Doing the cheap one is, I can't, it gives me so much dread and sadness to like spend money on like a cheap disposable thing of any kind.
Got it.
I would so much rather not do it, which is why I've never done it. And here I am.
So it's either like go all in. Maybe like you'll get to a point in your life where you're like, you know what? I just got to have it. I just got to have that Halloween costume. And maybe you'll be like in your 60s by then. And you can just go ahead and be whatever
Admiral.
Top. Yes.
Put all the pips on. All the pips on there.
Yeah. Yeah. And okay. So another level or another layer of this that I really love in your pretend Halloween costume that you've never actually bought, that you've put a lot of thought into is that you have a leveling system that it's imaginary. You don't have to earn those badges. You can be whatever you want. You could just be Admiral starting at age 17, but you're still like, no, I have to earn those.
Well, that would be the fun of like wearing the same costume every year. It's like, you know what? This year, this year I get ranked up. I'm going to get promoted because, you know, more has happened in my life.
And you would painstakingly explain each medal or whatever to anyone at the party who asked.
And yeah,
you'd be like,
and
I got this
the
one?
Rank system in Star Trek The Next Generation is just these little tiny like metal dots or discs on your collar. And you have 1 to 4 of them, basically. But yeah, then each one would have meaning. It'd be like, yeah, I got this one when I marry my beautiful wife or whatever.
Wow. So but yeah, after marriage, what level would you be in your imaginary system?
Right now, I guess I would be 3 of 4.
3 of 4?
In the system I devised. Yeah, in the system I devised.
And what is that called? What is level 3 called?
Oh, that's a great question. Captain? Captain, maybe?
Yeah, that sounds right. Okay.
I feel like Jean-Luc Picard had 4, though, so... Let me see. And he was a captain. That was his name, Captain Jean-Luc Picard. Yeah, he had 4 pips, so I guess 4
okay,
captain...
Well, to be so young and to already be a level 3, I mean, that's pretty high achieving.
I'm getting up there. I'm like 31 years old. Like if I had joined the military out of high school, like I would be a pretty high ranking military person by now.
That is true.
You know, very few people have like a full giant career in the military. So I'd be up there.
Yeah. General Mangold.
Anyway, my backup plan if I get invited to a Halloween party, because I don't have my extraordinarily overpriced Starfleet uniform.
Is it just a t-shirt that says ask me about my Starfleet uniform?
ask me about my Starfleet uniform I don't own yet. And I can tell you about it at length.
Then there's like a GoFundMe link on the back to buy the costume.
I think a good backup is I could just go to like a thrift store and just definitely come away with a very convincing Freddie Mercury costume given this ridiculous mustache.
Oh, that's good.
That's definitely doable. So,
yeah, I don't know why. I really just loathe the idea of
dressing
up.
That's so funny to me. You know, Linda, you are just, we've known each other for so long, and we record this show every week, and yet the mysteries just keep unraveling. I would have guessed that you would have thought it was fun to dress up, and why not do it? Why not have fun?
Yeah, I don't know.
I really like when it. I find these corners of you where you like resent things like me. I feel like that's my normal MO. And you're normally just like happy and like yeah, you know, whatever. Enjoying life and like everything's kind of rolling off your back. Yeah. But then you're like, yeah, I loathe the idea of dressing up as an adult. It's disgusting to me. And I'm like, yeah. Yes, I'm here for it.
Yeah, and it's not even like dressing up as an adult. I think it's just like the attitude around it. It's like, everyone, we're going to have fun. We're going to get so wasted. Oh, my God. It's going
to
be
nuts. You do realize you don't have to get wasted, Linda. There are definitely Halloween parties.
I know. But it's not even about that. I don't know. There's just all this pressure, and then you see other people in their costumes, and you're like, God, I'm such a dumbass. Why did I dress up like this? They're so cool.
Yeah.
Just want to undo. Yeah, exactly.
Hmm. How much time you got before spin class?
Oh man, we've got like 5 minutes.
Okay,
before I have to go in there.
So we do have a sponsor on this week's episode. Once again, we are sponsored by a friend of the show, Nathan Gathright. Nathan, thanks again.
Aww.
Another $4. Now Nathan sent us a brief discussion topic. This was,
okay,
I think, after we recorded our episode where I was explaining how there are very few haircuts that you can give to me, a like 6'1". Very average looking white man that don't look like a white supremacist haircut.
Okay.
And Nathan's question was, does having a beard or other facial hair make it look less white supremacist-y? And I'm actually curious to hear your thought on this, Linda, first before I weigh in. So you know, the haircut we're talking about, right? The Macklemore, real low in the sides, like buzzed or like trimmed all the way down to like almost the scalp, and then like a swooshy or like, you know, combed back top longer hair.
Yeah.
Throw a beard on that. And what's the connotation for you?
I think a beard just makes every haircut friendlier.
Interesting.
It's like, yeah, I think that he might be onto something there, that you can have that typical haircut. Although it might like make you look a little bit like a douchebag. Or like I'm like imagining a very specific type of like gay male.
Oh,
who has like, because like the high and tight, like if it's like really dialed in and if it's like really, really neatly manicured and then they have like a really neatly manicured beard. Like, I feel like I've seen that man around. And
there's a couple people on Queer Eye that match that description.
Yeah, exactly.
I was
not
gonna
that
say,
I'm speaking on behalf of the gay male community.
You heard it here first, folks. Linda says all gay males are the same, and she knows exactly what they like and what they look like.
No.
Thanks for being a monoculture so we can understand you very simply and shortcut everything. I was going to say that I think you throw a beard on that haircut, and my first reaction is craft beer douchebag. That's like
a
prime hipster look. Like
exactly.
That's somebody that owns a bunch of like unnecessary leather goods, probably dabbled,
yes,
at least in their head, in their mind palace with steampunk. That's
oh,
what I get.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So. It's like, it depends on what they're wearing. Cause I think if that person is like, I feel like they might be trying a little hard. Like I'm imagining an outfit that's a little bit too put together.
There's a lot of hair stuff going on. If you got like, you know, a high and tight haircut and a beard, it's like, okay, you got two hair things.
Right.
Two hair things. That's a lot of hair things.
Yeah. Like shave one.
Anyway, this has been very judgmental, hair judgment corner, but that's why, yeah. I mean, I had a beard for a while with, again, I mean, a similar-ish haircut, because how many other haircuts can you give to my boring-ass head? I was always conscious not to, to dress down, because I feel like if you dress that up, then you basically look like you're a member of, my joke is ruined. What's that band with all the members that has, like, you know, 50 people and...
That band with... Oh, yeah. The one.
You know the band.
Yeah.
David Foster Wallace, the band. What's the name of the band? Shit.
It'll hit me as soon as we hang up.
Yeah, me too. Anyway, joke's ruined, but I think you get what I'm going for there, Nathan. And also, everybody out there, just do you. If you think we're describing you, we're not. We're describing some much worse person that maybe looks a little
just
like
do
you.
You.
You're great. You're great, and we love you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My current bebe has a beard, big old beard.
But definitely not a high and tight.
Definitely not.
God, can you imagine with a high and tight? Holy shit.
I can't. I've been standing here trying.
I'm a little shook. I'm a little shook to the core.
And I can't.
I'm not going to lie.
I think his hair is going to have to go eventually.
Well, I mean, you know? It's going to go somewhere.
Spin it out.
It always does.
Time.
All right, Linda, you enjoy your spin class. first exercise of the week. You're going to do great. And Minu's going to be fine without you.
Oh, I hope so. I hope he doesn't keep chewing his foot hair off like he has been. Mm.
Don't we all?
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, Linda. Goodbye.
Bye.